Welcome to another episode of At CE Enterstage, where we look at key business trends in Central and Eastern Europe. I'm your host, Sasha Papp, and today we are discussing employee stock ownership plans, ESOPs, and their growing importance in our region. We have two very knowledgeable guests with us today. First, Marija Tešić, a partner at CMS Belgrade with a deep understanding of the legal landscape surrounding mergers, acquisitions and ESOPs. Her insight will help us navigate the complexities of these plans. In addition to Marija, we are delighted to welcome Teodora Bobčeva from Scale Focus. Scale Focus is known for its innovative approach to technology and business, and their successful ESOP program is a testament to the positive impact these plans can have on a company's culture and bottom line. In today's episode, we discuss how ESOPs work, the benefits they bring, and the challenges companies may face along the way. It's all about creating a shared success story. Teodora and Marija, thank you both for joining us today. Let's start by getting down to the basics. Marija, what is an employee stock ownership plan, ESOP, and how does it work in the context of companies in the CEE region?
Thank you, Sasha. Hi to all. Well, an employee stock ownership plan, or shorter ESOP, it is a program that enables the employees to become minority shareholders or partial owners of the shares in a company. It happens by granting to them the shares or the option to buy shares or receive shares at some later stage. Usually it is at some moment when the company reaches certain key milestones. There are various models, but in any case, it now becomes an attractive incentive for the CE companies in this region, although it used to be a very used model in other regions, especially in the Western countries and in USA, where it originates from. The basic ratio was that it makes more committed and engaged workforce. They increase the motivation of the employees by connecting them more with the company. When we talk about our region, all countries introduce them at its own time with its own specifics. For example, in Serbia, it was not officially introduced until 2021 and the amendments of the company's law. And there are countries in which they are still not officially recognized, or they are recognized only for certain type of companies. In Serbia, we can use it only for limited liability companies. However, multinational companies, even before applied these programs for some years already, in respect to all employees or contractors where they have subsidiaries, even in those where ESOPs are not officially recognized. How that worked? Because the employees are not always granted the shares in the actual company they work for, but in some other company within the group. So in case of Serbia, even before ESOP was officially introduced, we were often approached by our clients to support and advise them with respect to the granting the shares to the employees located in Serbia.
Thank you. Teodora, Scale Focus has implemented an ESOP program. Could you share what motivated your company to introduce an ESOP?
First, hi all, and thank you for having me here. What I can share is that our company introduced an employee stock ownership plan as a strategic move because the shareholders wanted to align the interests of our employees with the long-term success of the company. And basically, we at Scale Focus always aim to foster a stronger sense of ownership, loyalty, and commitment among our colleagues. And one way to achieve it is by offering phantom shares and stock options to key employees. The phantom shares and the stock options are the two plans that we introduced in the company. ESOP incentivizes employees to perform at their best, and also such programs create a culture of shared success where everyone benefits from the company's growth and profitability. And I completely share the opinion of Maria, because while ESOPs are common for US companies, they were not popular in Bulgaria initially. And as we all know, foreign companies with offices here in Bulgaria already have ESOPs in place and they provide it for their employees, while local companies still, I think, see it some kind of as a novelty. Therefore, our company started offering our employees similar benefits, and in this way, the company is relevant and competitive, and of course, retains and attracts top talent.
Oh, nice. Looking at the topic from your perspective, Maria, what are some essential legal considerations for companies thinking about implementing an ESOP in the CEE region?
Well, I think it's crucial to be aware of these diverse legal and regulatory regimes across the different countries in CEE region. As said already, ESOPs are often cross-border and include employees of in several jurisdictions where one group of companies operates. So it is important to work with a legal expert who understands the specific requirements in all these countries. So in the country where the actual company of which the shares are granted is located, as well as in those where the employees are located. Such requirements include tax implications, reporting obligations, fair valuation methods, foreign exchange concerns. Then also it is important to check the local capital markets regimes to ensure that the ESOPs does not trigger the local capital markets regimes. And if triggers, then to cover it properly. So there are various aspects.
Maria, you mentioned tax implications. Could you share maybe some insights into the tax implications for employees participating in an ESOP program in the CEE region?
Well, yes, taxation of ESOPs, as everything else, also varies across CEE countries. In some countries, employees may face taxes at the time they receive the shares, while in others only when they further sell them out. The tax rates and treatment of capital gain is also different. But ESOPs can usually be beneficial for both the company and the employees. So it is crucial for employees to understand all legal, financial, and tax implications of participating in ESOPs so they can plan and make the informed decisions accordingly. As always, transparent communication is key to successful ESOP and to satisfied and motivated employees.
So basically, it's very important because there are some specific country regulations, right?
Yes.
Okay. Theodora, in practice, were there any specific challenges or hurdles your company faced during the implementation of the ESOP program? Also, what do you recognize as major benefits for companies implementing ESOPs in the CEE region?
Sure, definitely. Implementing an ESOP program certainly comes with its challenges. And this is especially valid for the CEE region, where regulatory frameworks might differ. And not only this, but our local legislation is significantly different from the one in the US, where the ESOPs are a lot more popular. And one of the major hurdles we faced was adapting the concept of employee stock ownership plan to fit our regional context, where the US model and terminology were not widely understood. And as you can imagine, this required extensive efforts to educate our employees about the local concept and why we took the specific approach. What I can additionally share is that designing a plan that addresses key employees at different levels, drafting documents that best reflect the plan, navigating tax implications and financial reporting requirements posed significant challenges, and that is exactly where our team creativity had to shine. But I can share that all these challenges were outweighed by the benefits of implementing ESOPs because ESOPs enhance employee retention and attract top talent. And moreover, ESOPs can be a powerful tool for succession planning and mitigating the risk of talent poaching.
Thank you, Teodora. Maria mentioned the importance of transparency. What would your advice be for other companies considering ESOP implementation? What to do to ensure transparency and effective communication with their employees regarding SOPs?
Well, my advice is for the companies considering employee stock ownership plan implementation that they should prioritize clear and open communication from the start. So, for example, this might include to seek input from employees with specific knowledge and role in the company and external experts during the design phase of the ESOP, so they can enhance buy-in and ensure that the plan meets the needs of and expectations of all involved, and also to make sure that the plan is compliant with the regulatory framework. For example, another best practice is to identify the most appropriate individuals, such as a member of the executive team, direct managers, member of the legal team, or a combination of these people, so they can communicate the ESOP details effectively to the employees. And of course, this individual should be equipped with comprehensive knowledge about the plan and its mechanics, so they can address any questions or concerns from the employees. Another thing that the companies can do is regular updates on the company's performance and the value of these ESOP shares, because this can also help keep employees engaged and motivated. This is mainly because employees can see that their work contributes to the increase of the company value, and as a result, this increases the value of their shares. Also, providing avenues for employees to ask questions and voice concerns fosters a culture of trust and transparency, and this also ensures the success of an ESOP program. I can share that transparent communication is indeed crucial for the successful implementation of an ESOP, but what I think is more important for the management is to be able to accurately assess those who deserve such honor. There's no doubt that companies should clearly communicate any specific requirements or actions that employees need to take to benefit from the ESOP. For example, selection process, eligibility criteria, performance metrics, or vesting schedules. And although such communication is mandatory for publicly traded companies and large companies, I personally think that it somewhat negates the true purpose of ESOP. Because the general idea for me behind employee stock ownership plan is not that this is something taken for granted, but ESOPs are here to provide additional incentive for key employees that feel that they have been fairly compensated as their daily operations become a lot more strategic than trivial.
Okay, so clear and transparent communication is great, as always, right? And from what I can hear, there are so many factors to consider, basically. Maria, what advice would you give to companies looking to implement an ESOP in the CEE region?
Well, my advice would be to start early in advance and to involve legal and tax experts right from the planning stage in order to understand all specific legal and tax requirements in each country that to which ESOP refers, and to have possibility to customize that to the as much possible as to the company's objectives. Additionally, as Teodora already explained, the transparent and open communication should be a priority, and all necessary information and clarification should be available to them to ensure that they are well informed and on board.
Thank you both for sharing your insights and experiences with us today. ESOPs seem to be a powerful tool for fostering employee engagement and ownership in companies throughout the CEE region also.
It was my pleasure. ESSA presents a very exciting opportunity, but remember to do good preparation work to navigate all the complexities if you wish to reach the desired outcome.
Yeah, I join to Maria's advice, definitely.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our podcast episode on ESOP incentives in the CEE region. We hope this episode provided valuable information to both employers and employees considering ESOPs as part of their compensation and ownership strategies. If you missed any of our previous episodes, you can find them on our website or revisit them via your LinkedIn profile. Be sure to stay tuned for our upcoming episodes soon.